Blog Talk Radio.
Mother Valerie, for coming in with me this morning. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this lovely, cool day?
Good morning, Pastor. I'm doing fine.
It is chilly. It is chilly. And I am grateful to be awake. I'm grateful to be alive. Today, I'm actually getting ready to head to Chicago, funeral of my husband's aunt, who was just such a sweet lady. And you never know when God puts you in a place, why. And I just happened to be at a place last year where I was able to see her after, oh my God, has to have been over 30 years since I had seen her or her daughter, since my kids were little bitty kids. And it was just so nice to have seen her. I've spoken to her, but had not seen her in those years. And so it was, never know someone. It might be the last time you see them on this side of the earth. Again, with Mother Valerie, I was able to go and see Mother Rita, and I'm so grateful to God that I was able to go to see her, not knowing that that would be my last time. So I say today, to get long, as they say, long story short, to take every day as your last day, to treat people with kindness, to treat people with love, to remember that you are a child of God and that you are important to him and that we are important to each other and that we should love each other. Love each other. I can't say it enough, but love each other. Care about your fellow man. Don't make everything about yourself, because if God did that, he would not have sent his son. He would not have sent the joy and love of his life to die on Calvary's cross for us. He wouldn't have done it. He would have said, them folks is too evil. Them folks is stay hard-hearted, hard-headed, don't want to say anything, don't want to do anything. All they want to do is complain. But God didn't feel that way about us. He didn't feel that way about his children. He loved us in spite of us. And all I can say is thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you, God, for the peace and the joy that can only come from you. So to my family, condolences to the Smith family who has lost a matriarch. Watch over us. May God bless us. May God lead us and guide us in his perfect will. Because again, Mother Valerie, it is not about us. It is all about him. And when we take it to the throne and not to the phone, and we tell God that we appreciate his blessings. And so the word that God gave me this morning, again, coming out of my favorite chapter and book in the whole Bible, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He said it to Joshua, and he says it to us. I am with you wherever you go. I am with you when you're coming in. I am with you when you're going out. I am with you. So thank God today that he is with us, that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will be with us. So this is Old Testament Friday. And so we're going to be in Deuteronomy, and we're going to be in Joshua. I will be coming to you this morning from Deuteronomy chapter 33 through 34 and Joshua chapter 1. And then I will be turning it over to Mother Valerie as we move forward in God's word. And I have a word from our word, our 365 days of prayer. If time permits, I will read it at the end of the show. Father God, we thank you again for this beautiful day, God. We ask you, Lord God, for those that are homeless and houseless, Lord, I ask you to please give them shelter as this day is very cold all over the country. So I ask you, Father God, to please watch over your children. Keep them safe from hurt, harm, and danger. And Father God, I ask you to take control of this word this morning. Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer. And so, Father God, I lift this word up. I lift Mother Valerie up, God, as we go forth in your word, God, not our word, but your word, God. And as the word that Jesus gave us to pray, Lord God, your will be done today and always in our life, in our ministries, in what we do, Lord God, let us do it in excellence for you. And so, God, as I lift this word up, I thank you. I praise you. I give you honor and glory, for you are my Father God, and I'm grateful to have been grafted in and adopted in as your daughter. And I lift again up this word in the name of the matchless Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. Giving honor again to God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Mother Valerie, I'm taking it to the word of God. I'm going to the throne as God has given us this mighty word. And again, thank you for your prayers for Blog Talk Radio this morning, because we were able to come on and go for it because Blog Talk was working today. So I thank God for his grace and mercy and Blog Talk working today, Mother Valerie. Because on yesterday, they were having some technical difficulties, and I'm sure it was weather-related because I was looking at the news and in New York State. From snow to rain and ice and whatever, they had some stuff going on up there. So it may have just been a weather issue, because it seems like every time the weather's crazy up there, they get kicked off. So thanking God that Blog Talk is back up and working and we're back together again. So good morning, Blog Talk listeners. I appreciate you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for you, and we thank God for prayers yesterday. So let's get in the word, and we are coming out of Deuteronomy chapter 33. And understand, just to give a backdrop, Moses is given an overview of their 40 years because he knows he's getting ready to leave this earth. He knows he's getting ready to go to God, because we know the word of God tells us in John chapter 14, that absent from the body is in the presence of the Lord. So we know that God is getting ready to take him home. And it says, now this is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before this. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and dawned on them from Sinai. He shone forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 of saints. From his right hand came the fiery law for them. Yes, he loves the people. All his saints are in your hands. They sit down at your feet. Everyone receives your word. Moses commanded a law for us, a heritage of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun. When the leaders of the people were gathered, all the tribes of Israel together, let Reuben live and not die, nor let his men be few. And this he said of Judah, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him to his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and may you be a help against. And of Levi, he said, let your Thummim and your Urim be with your Holy One, whom you tested as Massah, and with whom you contended at the waters of Meribah. Who says of his father and mother, I have not seen them? Nor did he acknowledge his brothers or know his own children, but they have observed your word and kept your covenant. They shall teach Jacob your judgment and Israel your law. They shall put incense before you and a whole burnt sacrifice on your altar. Bless his substance, Lord, and accept the work of his hands. Strike the lions of those who rise against him. Strike the loins of those who rise against him and of those who hate him, that they rise not again. That's some painful stuff. O Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him who shelter him all the days long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. And of Joseph, he said, blessed of the Lord is his land, with the precious things of heaven, with the dew and the deep lying breath beneath, with the precious fruits of the sun, with the precious produce of the month, with the best things of the ancient mountains, with the precious things of the everlasting hills, with the precious things of the earth and its fullness, and the favor of him who dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separated from his brothers. His glory is like a firstborn bull, and his horns like the horns of the wild ox. Together with them he shall push the people to the ends of the earth, and they are the 10,000 of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And of Zebulun, he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in your going out, and Issachar in your tent. They shall call the people to the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, but they shall partake of the abundance of the sea and of treasures hidden in the sand. And of Gad, he said, blessed is he who enlarges Gad. He dwells as a lion and tears the arm and the crown of his head. He provided the first part for himself because a lawgiver's portion was reserved there. He came with the heads of the people. He had administered the justice of the Lord, and his judgment was Israel. And of Dan, he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. And of Naphtali, he said, oh, Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full of the blessing of the Lord, possess the west and the south. And of Asher, he said, Asher is most blessed of sons. Let him be favored by his brothers, and let him dip his foot in oil. Your sandals shall be iron and bronze, and your days, so shall your strength be. There is no one like the God of Jeshua, who rides the heavens to help you, and in his excellency on the clouds. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you, and will say, destroy. Israel shall dwell in safety, the fountain of Jacob alone, in a land of grain and new wine. His heavens shall also drop dew. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places. Chapter 34. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of the Pisgah, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead, as far as Dan, all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah, as far as the western sea, the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, and then he told him, he said, Isaac and Jacob, this is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. But since then, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt before Pharaoh, before all his servants, and in all his land, and by all that mighty power and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. Wow, what a word. What a word. What a word. And as we go back to the life lessons from Deuteronomy chapter 33 and 34, Deuteronomy 33 and 27, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you. Can we have a better friend than one who is infinitely strong and mighty, yet at the same time loving and gentle? Our God tenderly loves us and protects us, just all of our spirit's enemies, including the devil. He defeated all of our spiritual enemies, including the devil. Can I say it one more time, Mother Valerie? Our God tenderly loves us and protects us, yet has defeated all spiritual enemies, including the devil. He is defeated because God has defeated him. We are blessed beyond measure because God defeated the enemy for us. He loves us like that. We are blessed. We are highly favored. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High God, and he loves us more than we can imagine and more than words can say. And then Deuteronomy 34 and 6. He buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, but no one knows his grave to this day. God buried Moses in a grave he kept secret. As great as Moses was, he was only a man, and God did not want anyone to remember him as anything but a man, because what would have happened? Folks would have been worshiping at the grave of Moses and putting Moses in the place of God. And God's like, not today. He couldn't do it. So he made sure, even to this day, archaeologists are digging all over the land that once was Moab, trying to find the body of Moses. Because why? That's what they do. They dig up graves. They look for things that are really none of their business, but they go after it anyway. There are those that have found the tomb of Jesus. There are those that have found the sepulchre of Mary. They're always looking for something, mainly to try to dispel our faith, but they still haven't been able to do it. They still go after stuff. They try to destroy any works of art that depicted the disciples, but they still couldn't do it. Understand, God is in charge of everything, and what has been lied about, God is bringing into the surface to show the truth of a manner. There are those who still won't believe, but God is showing things right now. Understand, we are about to come upon a total eclipse, something that will not happen again. I believe I read something that said for another 200 years. We better understand we are in some time, and we better take it serious. We better take it serious. God is trying to tell us something. Are we listening? Joshua chapter 1, and it says, after the death of Moses, servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, into the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. But then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. And I felt like when I first, this scripture came into my heart and to my mind and into my everything, I felt like when I read it for the first time, God was saying to me, be strong and of good courage, Bridget. Do not be afraid, Bridget. Not be dismayed, Bridget. For the Lord your God, Bridget, is with you wherever you go. And I believe that in my heart, that I don't have to walk in fear. I walk in faith because my Father God is with me wherever I go. Hallelujah. Tell God, thank you. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go, just as he was with Moses in the wilderness, just as he was with Moses on the mountain when he gave him the Ten Commandments, just as he was with Moses when that bush was burning and he spoke to him and said, take off your shoes, where you stand is holy ground. Just as he was there with Joshua getting ready to cross the Jordan, he is with us. And then it says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, that you shall pass before your brethren, armed all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which the Lord, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words and all that your command, him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. They didn't play. They had to be tight-knit. They were going into a land they did not know to possess. They couldn't be this group, this clique, that clique. They had to be united, because divided they were going to fall, but united they would stand. And we haven't got through all of Joshua, but I will say this. This is the only book in the Bible, pretty much, where folks did what they said they was going to do. Joshua didn't play. They did what they honored God in this book, because Joshua told them, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose this day. He told them to choose who they would serve. And Joshua didn't play with folks. He was a man of war, and he did not play. What he told you to do, he expected it to be done. And they did it because they understood that he and Caleb, they are the only two of their generation to make it into the promised land, because they trusted God. We want to make it in. We want to go through that narrow gate. And as we go into some life lessons from Joshua chapter 1, it says in verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. One of my favorite scriptures. And it says, before Joshua gave his first order or made his first move as the new leader of Israel, he listened for the voice of God. Listening to God is essential to walking with God and securing his blessings. When we do God's will in God's way with God's help, no one and nothing can stand in the way of our success. The key is seeking the presence of the Lord. Joshua 1:8, you shall meditate in and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. We've got to meditate on the word of God day and night. And it says to us, the Lord, I love you, Dr. Stanley. Thank you. May God rest your lovely soul. The Lord gave Joshua the same command he issued to future Israelite kings in Deuteronomy 17 and 19. He was to meditate on the word of God every day,
knowledge of God's will is crucial to doing it. We got to know the word. You can't just go in on a Sunday and sit in the pew and think you know the word of God. You've got to read it yourself and meditate on it yourself. Because understand, God wants us to be equipped. And we cannot be equipped when we don't study the word ourselves. And in Joshua 1:9, my go-to scripture, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Mother Valerie, God is with you wherever you go. Evangelist, God is with you wherever you go. Pastor Jesse, God is with you wherever you go. To my children, God is with you wherever you go. We got to believe it. We got to know it, that God is with us wherever we go. It is easy to focus on our problems, which we can see, and not on God whom we can't. As Joshua discovered, God is with us no matter where we are or how big our problem seems. And a word that got Dr. Stanley saving this life question, how can I find courage in times of adversity? And he tells us, in many ways, adversity is like boot camp. It is rigorous, painful, and challenging. Adversity causes us to adopt new routines and habits, to develop aspects of our being, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, that might not have developed as they should. Adversity can put us under the authority of people who affect our lives in ways foreign to us. In all these areas, we need courage to keep our balance. We need courage as we get hit by many new feelings, facts, restrictions, limitations, obstacles, challenges, and offerings of advice and help. We need courage not only to endure times of adversity, but also to make the changes that adversity compels us to make. In any case, we can trust the Holy Spirit to help us in times of adversity and to grow and change so that we can live in keeping with the example set by Jesus Christ. Joshua knew all about adversity. Without question, 40 years of wandering in the wilderness had qualified him to understand hardship, trials, and troubles, physical, relational, spiritual, and no doubt emotional and mental. Joshua also knew that the Lord was with him and his people. As a close associate of Moses, Joshua had grown in his faith and leadership ability. When the time came for the people of God to cross the Jordan River and inhabit the land of promise, God named Joshua as a leader to succeed Moses. At three specific times, the Lord spoke to Joshua about courage. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Joshua 1:6. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Joshua 1:7. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. Note the three things that require courage of Joshua. One, to make decisions that affected other people under his leadership. Two, to keep the laws and commandments even as changes occurred. And three, to remember continually that the Lord was with him, despite what circumstances might indicate to the contrary. Every one of us needs courage in exactly the same three areas of our lives as we face adversity. And that is all I have. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers and readers of this word. I turn it over to Mother Valerie. Mother Valerie?
Good morning, people of God.
Good morning. The temperature is 41 degrees. A little bit cool out, but that's okay. God is still with us. God is always with us. God is with us. God is with us. And Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to praise the Lord. God is always with us. I don't care if the temperature is zero and it's cold outside. God is still with us. I remember the temperature being zero maybe 10 or 15 years ago. And me and my mother came to Springfield to visit Janice Boo and my sister. I mean, she just wanted to get out regardless of what the temperature was. So God is with us no matter what. He's with us. Joshua chapter 2. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went, came to the house of a harlot named Rahab, king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you from the end of your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened, as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. When the men went, where they went, I don't know, pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up on the roof and hidden them with the saws of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the man pursued them by the road to Jordan to the forks. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, shut the gate. Now before they laid down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God. He is the God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So the man answered her, our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. And she let him down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelled on the wall. She said to them, get to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way. And so the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear. I'm hearing noises. Unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own house, so it shall be that whoever goes outside the door of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood should be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you made us swear. Now she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went to the mountain, stayed there for 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, crossed over, and they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, truly, the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, For indeed, all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. Wow. Everybody was faint-hearted because of them. Joshua 3. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove, came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days through the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits a measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way before. Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, cross over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that you may know that as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. And that's the title for the day. The Lord our God, God is with us. He's with us. I will be with you. Who bear the ark of covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, and the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. My goodness gracious me, that's what Moses did with crossing over the Red Sea. All the water stands up like a heap, and children go across on dry land. I mean, God is a great God. I mean, look at that. All the water shall stand as a heap. So it was when the people set out from their camps across over the Jordan with the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water. For the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of the harvest. As the waters which came down from upstream stood still, I would love to have seen that water just standing up in a heap. God is an amazing God. There is nothing that he cannot do. I mean, God is truly amazing. And the waters which came down from the upstream stood still, rose in a heap very far away. As Adam, the city that is beside Zeridan, so the waters that went down into the sea of Arabath, the salt sea, fell and were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jordan, Jericho. Then the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. Ooh-wee. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground. And to all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Now, you know, if we go out there and look at the river, the ocean, and the ocean just separate all the waters, go into a heap. I don't know if it would scare us in this day and age, but back then they know God has to be with them, and it was beautiful. Chapter 4, came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan. The Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourself 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, command them, saying, take for yourself 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You should carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom appointed from the children of Israel tribe, and Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, now what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so just as Joshua commanded, took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there to this day. So the priests who bore the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people heard it and crossed over. Then it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over, that the ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in the presence of the people and the men of Reuben, the men of Gad, and the half, the tribe of Manasseh crossed over, armed before the children of Israel as Moses had spoken to them. About 40,000 prepared for war crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, command the priests who bear the ark of testimony to come up from the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come up from the Jordan. Came to pass, when the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilead on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilead. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time come to saying, what are these stones? Then you should let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did as the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and you may fear the Lord your God forever. For the Lord your God is with you. Life lesson, Joshua 4:24. That all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and you may fear the Lord your God. What happens to God's people has ramifications far beyond their own lives. The Lord wants the whole world to know him, and he advises his activity, and he advises his activity through us. Joshua 3:10, life lesson, know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites. God, that's that title. God is with us. Do not be afraid. Don't fear. You know, it's amazing when you look at your enemies and they outnumber you. God said, don't be afraid of them. That's nothing for God. Is there anything too hard for God? No. Nothing. God said, don't fear. He said, when the living God is among you, no problem is insurmountable. The awareness of God's presence energizes us for our work. Joshua Life Lesson 4:7. These stones should be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. For years after Israel had defeated Jericho, the people could look at the stones taken from the Jordan dry riverbed and remember God's work on their behalf. What memorial stones remind you of God's work in your own life? God is just a good God. He's good all the time. He's good all the time. Obedience must be a priority in every believer's life. It is the only way you will ever become the person God wants you to be, and the only way you will ever achieve the things in life that He has so wonderfully prepared for you. The Holy Spirit enables you to walk obediently before God in His strength and in His power. My prayer for you, my petition to God on your behalf, is that you will choose to obey Him, even if you don't understand why He asks you to do something. That way, you can become the person He wants you to be. Do the work He desires of you. Bear the fruit He enables you to bear, and receive the blessing He has prepared for you. Do what God wants you to do. Do what the Holy Spirit enables us to obey every one of God's commandments. If this was not possible, God would not just be a God. Therefore, whatever He requires of us, whether it be painful, joyful, or profitable, costly, reasonable, or peculiar, our Heavenly Father would help us to obey Him. It said, nor obey God, despite what other people thought of Him. Obedience. We also must be prepared for the negative response we will undoubtedly receive. Will it always be popular to obey God? No. Will people criticize you? Probably. Will they think that you do some ridiculous thing? No doubt. Will they laugh at you? Yes. But think about this. Noah chose to walk with God in the midst of a corrupt society. In fact, it had grown so wicked that God determined to destroy every living human being on the face of this earth, with the exception of one family, Noah's. We can only imagine what those evil people must have said to Noah as they watched him day by day by day. But soon after the raindrops start falling, all the mocking dried up. They stopped mocking him. We can deduct an important key to obedience from the life of Noah. When God tells us to do something, we must not focus on the things or the person who tried to distract us from doing it. If Noah had began to listen to his critics, he would not have built the ark, and he would not have been swept away. He would have been swept away with everyone else. Instead, he chose to obey God regardless of any misgivings he might have had. We are to obey God in every single thing. Before you try to make a list of everything God has asked you to do or not do, consider this. Is there one particular area of your life in which you struggle to obey God's word? As you read the scriptures, does He continually bring a specific sin to your attention when you go to Him in prayer? Does the same issue surface repeatedly? If the Lord is bringing something to your mind right now, consider this. It could be that you have been living in the same uncomfortable situation for years because at some point, you chose to do things your way instead of God's way. Well, there you go again. Do things your way, God's way, instead of your way. It is always important to follow God. You know, they tell us over and over, repeatedly and repeatedly in the Bible. obedience is better than sacrifice. I mean, if you have children, you have little ones up under you, you yourself know that you want them to obey you. You don't want them to do it their way. If you tell a child to do something, and it's just like with God, God wants you to do it. God is a good God all the time. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget. This is a good lesson. Obey God. Pastor? God does not require us to understand his will. He just wants us to obey it, even if it seems unreasonable. Obey God.
Come on.
And then she's going to give you, I'm turning it to Pastor Bridges. She'll give you something from Carolyn. And God is just good.
Yes, ma'am.
All the time.
God is so good. I am just, I can't say it enough. I am privileged. We are privileged that we are able to read the word, that we are able to study the word, because there are people that can't even look at it, that can't study it, that will never know it because their governments and the people in authority have banned it. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of God. We are blessed beyond measure to be able to look at the word of God. So I thank God this morning for all of you. I am getting ready to travel to Chicago. Just ask you for your prayers as we have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And the word from our sister in Christ today is this: when you wait on the Lord, it will be worth what he has planned for your life. Have a fantastic Friday, family. And I say have a fear God family, fear God Friday. And just remember, as you go through your day, don't worry. Have faith and know that the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So as you travel the highways, byways, as you walk your baby to the bus stop, as you go to the bus stop, as you get in your car, whatever you have to do, just remember, whatever it is, God is with you wherever you go. So God and I are getting ready to travel. So I thank you all. I ask God's blessings over you all as we come back together on Sunday for Psalm, Proverb, and New Testament. I just say to you, keep God first as you go through life. And never forget, he is the one in charge of everything. Blessings upon blessings, family. Love you much. Have a great and blessed day. Mother Valerie, what is it?
Father God, in Jesus' name, bless Pastor Bridget. Give her traveling mercies as she travel up and down the road. And God, let the people know whom she's going to a service, the home going. Let those people know that you are with them, that you see their tears. And God, we just thank and praise you. We say hallelujah. We bless your holy name. And bring her back safely, Pastor Bridget. In Jesus' name, I pray. And God, we love you. For this is the day you made. We shall have joy and be glad in it. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know what?
Amen.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Join us. Well, join me on Sunday. Mother Valerie has other things that we both have to do, but I will be here on Sunday with you. And I am grateful, I'm thankful, and I'm blessed to be a child of God and to be with all of you this morning. Have a great day, Mother, one more time in our fifth and final closing on this fifth day of April. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.